are listening to WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. NTSC, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we're against so much, what do we stand for? Well, the ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device you're listening on right now likely wasn't free, the radio waves you're listening to are. However, WXRW costs money to operate. To that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat or a mug or a t-shirt, and all proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or if you like any of the programming on WXRW, please reach out and become an official underwriter. Every little bit helps. And now you can also dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker of choice. Just tell your listening device to play WXRW River West Radio. We are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So over the last 7 weeks, we've looked at some of the symptoms and dysfunctions of the systems under which we all struggle, like fascism, structural violence, neoliberalism, white supremacy, and so on. The last 2 weeks, we focused on the general theme of this show, which is anarchism and essentially freedom. This week is going to be a little different. Instead of pinpointing what's wrong with the current systems and structures of our world as it exists, let's look at maybe just one example of what might be different if a hypothetical person, let's say you, lived in an actually civilized, free society. First, though, let's start this week's episode off by completing the essay that we began reading last week. These are the final paragraphs of To Change Everything, a non-copyright, collectively anonymously authored essay about anarchism, originally disseminated by the group Crime Think. Anarchy is what happens wherever order is not imposed by force. It is freedom, the process of continually reinventing ourselves and our relationships, any freely occurring process or phenomenon. A rainforest, a circle of friends, your own body, is an anarchic harmony that persists through constant change. Top-down control, on the other hand, can only be maintained by constraint or coercion. The precarious discipline of the high school detention room, the factory farm in which pesticides and herbicides defend sterile rows of genetically modified corn, the fragile hegemony of a superpower. Anarchism is the idea that everyone is entitled to complete self-determination. No law, government, or decision-making process is more important than the needs and desires of actual human beings. People should be free to shape their relations to their mutual satisfaction and to stand up for themselves as they see fit. Anarchism is not a dogma or a blueprint. It is not a system that would supposedly work if only it were applied right, like democracy, nor a goal to be realized in some far-off future like communism. It is a way of acting and relating that we can put into practice right now. In reference to any value system or course of action, we can begin by asking, how does it distribute power? Anarchists oppose all forms of hierarchy, every currency that concentrates power into the hands of a few, every mechanism that puts us at a distance from our potential, Against closed systems, we relish the unknown before us, the chaos within us by virtue of which we are able to be free. So that concludes the reading of To Change Everything. To hear the rest of the essay, you can visit creamcitymedia.com/anti, or you can read it yourself at crimethink.com/TCE. Crimethink is spelled CRIMETHINC. So anarchism is a process, not a blueprint. There's no final version of it. And since its whole point is to change as necessary to achieve self-determination, so long as people are dynamic entities with changing desires, moods, and goals, so too must anarchism be an ever-changing process with freedom, mutual aid, and solidarity as the guiding principles. When I have the opportunity to talk about anarchism with people who don't consider themselves to be anarchists, I often get posed, very often get posed the question, what would it look like? What does anarchism in practice actually look like? What do I do with my day? How do I get fed? How do I get from point A to point B? And why am I going there in the first place? What is expected of me in this free world? And there's no one answer to that question, since there is no, you know, perfect or universally accepted version of what anarchism is. There are a lot of different takes on what it might look like and how it might function, many of which are not even called anarchism. We'll go over that in a later episode, but so, for example, one such future is described by the term a resource-based economy, or RBE. It doesn't call itself anarchism, but the proponents of it as a system of societal function could very easily be called anarchists for the basic beliefs that they hold. So I always like to say that this show focuses on what a free society might actually look like. So this week is going to find us in a thought experiment. I'm going to go full stream of consciousness here and just try to walk through a full day, or at least, you know, a period of time, potentially a few days, in a truly free, civilized society. You're going to have to forgive me any tangents or missteps. This is literally just my brain working through this question creatively and very much on the fly. Okay, so to ensure that I'm not illustrating like a utopia here, because there are no such things as utopias, let's place our hypothetical society right here in Wisconsin in the middle of winter. It's just snowed overnight. The sun's just beginning to crest the horizon. It's a little after 5 a.m. No, actually, let's sleep in a little longer than that. Let's assume there are blackout curtains or, you know, some way by which to stop the sun from waking us up right away first thing in the morning. So now it's 7 a.m. and you awaken totally naturally. There is no alarm. There is no clock beside your bed telling you exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen. There's no regimentation. Yeah, you know, there is a clock. Obviously, there are clocks. There's a clock probably outside of the room that you're in for the people who are curious as to what time it is, and also to probably help plan meal preparation and also shared projects. But what woke you up was not a clock. What woke you up was the smell of breakfast. What is somebody making? Well, it smells like fried potatoes with herbs and spices. And there's the telltale aroma of fresh ground coffee and brewing tea. And that is certainly enough to get anybody out of bed, even on a very cold winter day. Especially because it's so much easier to get out of bed on the days that you have no obligations, isn't it? Well, at least that's my experience. So you throw on slippers and a robe, which you have kept beside your bed in the modest room in which you slept last night. It's not your room, per se, but it's where you ended up last night. You know, last night you felt like sleeping alone. but there were other options available to you at the time. You leave the bedding right where it is. You're deciding that you're going to stay here for a few more nights to see what's going on this side of town. So you make your way into the hallway, past other rooms, you know, of various shapes and sizes. Wherever you go, the walls are decorated with murals and paintings and photography of all kinds from hundreds of artists. Art is everywhere, no longer relegated only to museums or the walls of, you know, very wealthy people hidden away. Art breathes and lives organically, and here it's ever-changing and rearranging. As you're walking down the hall, that you find some of the doors are closed, some are open, some rooms are vacant, others are occupied. There are rooms with people already engaged in conversation. And you personally spent the night in passionate discussion with friends, both new and old, and so you decided to spend the night in the dormitory, though you could have just as easily chosen a more private residence for sleeping. Finally, you reach your destination, the dining room. A large adjoining kitchen is a flurry of activity. A whole bunch of the early risers began meal preparation for themselves, and they decided to just make a big batch of everything while they were at it, using what was available. So you grab a tray from a varied selection of handmade trays and pottery, and you enter the kitchen proper to see what everyone has kind of put together. The potatoes that you smelled earlier look absolutely too good to pass up. They look spicy. They've got chives on them, so you spoon out a small helping for yourself. There's the usual array of fresh veggies and fruits from the now totally ubiquitous vertical hydroponic gardens that pepper every major city, providing both food and also rich compost for millions of people. So you grab, you know, tomato, green bell pepper, there are radishes, there are really great slices of challah bread that you helped bake yesterday when you first got into town. You grab some of that, you know, happily, and you add some olive oil, which is pressed by a federative on the lakefront. And a federative is really just a group of people organizing themselves to a shared goal. So once your tray is nice and full of what you think you can actually eat, you set it down at one of the long tables and you go and pour yourself some really nice strong coffee before returning. You're joined at your table by travelers from all over the world, and also some of the local friends that you met. You eat at your own pace while asking what people plan to do for the day. You engage in, you know, conversation, you laugh, you joke, and as people kind of explain their plans, you gauge what you yourself might like to do. You would consider taking another day off, but now it sounds a little boring after listening to everybody else's plans. So you finish your meal, again, at your own pace. Again, you're not at the mercy of the clock. You're not constantly looking at your wrist or your phone, gauging how much time you have to enjoy this meal. You gather your tray along with a few others and you wash them in the gray water sink before drying them and returning them to the stacks where you found them. Any food remnants will be automatically reclaimed and composted. And because this particular dorm that you stayed in keeps a vegan kitchen, just as a tradition, all the food waste that is made here will make really excellent soil. So you decide what needs to be done for the day. You want to kind of see what needs to be done for the day. Because obviously you can come up with what you personally want to do, but there's already a lot of stuff that needs doing. So you patch in to one of the many publicly available computer terminals for this neighborhood's work list, which anybody can post to and anyone can join. And there's a lot of things going on, even here in the dead of winter. let's say one of the hydroponic federatives is holding a seminar on vertical garden integration, and they could use a few more botanists. Well, all right, that was never really your strong suit, so you keep scrolling. One of the linguistics federatives is offering lessons on the differences among the Romance languages, which sounds really cool, but then a specific listing catches your eye and you scroll down. The Meteorological Federative is looking for data analysts to help improve their predictive weather algorithm. You personally have a background in machine learning, so that sounds like a lot of fun. So you finish your coffee, you bust your cup just like you did your tray, and you return to the room you slept in to bathe and get dressed. Now, there are private showers as well as baths and also communal rinsing facilities for people who are generally just less modest. You don't really necessarily care. You end up taking a quick shower in the private unit adjoining your room. You get dressed in an outfit that you brought with you, but you do decide to bundle up with an extra coat from the large common closet, which is right outside, before heading out into the snowy, wintry world. If you're just joining us, you are listening to WXRW River West Radio. I'm your host, NTSC, and you're listening to The Anti, kind of a primer on freedom. And today, we're just engaging in a stream of consciousness thought project where I postulate what a free society could look like, what a person could do in their day. We've just finished our coffee. And we found a group of people who are doing something that sounds interesting to us, the Meteorological Federative. Let's see what we're going to do here. Yeah, we just bundled up in our coat. So the sidewalks are all heated with durable solar panels. They're all underneath a thin layer of very strong glass. And so the sidewalks heat themselves. They have not accrued any snow, so you don't have to shovel. And it's very easy for you to walk to the bus terminal and safe. Yesterday, you biked everywhere, so you opt to relax a little bit today and get off your feet. You program the stop that you want to go to on the bus's terminal, and you just take a seat. And let's say that it's a tradition in Milwaukee to bring books onto the bus and leave them in small pockets for other travelers to enjoy. So you see one such book and it piques your interest, and it's a filthy romantic novel. You get through, let's say, like the first four chapters before the bus stops at your destination. You make note of the name of the book and you replace it where you found it, because you'll be able to finish reading it online anytime you want to. Every book has been lovingly entered into the freely available online archive of literature. So, the Meteorological Federative is located, it's a round tower that also serves simultaneously as a botanical greenhouse and also a natural water purification bog. Those also dot the city. By the time you arrive, a small group of early risers have already begun looking at the latest dev code push, you know, committed by an earlier group. The code is really well commented, so their methodology is laid out pretty legibly. The hope for the day is to improve the accuracy of a predictive algorithm. The algorithm itself is already 80% accurate, but everybody loves a good challenge. You introduce yourself to the team and you roll up your sleeves. The work, because it's something in which you have a background, and because it's something in which you are very interested and have been for a long time, the work is engrossing. You lose all track of time, and you forget to eat lunch entirely, you know, along with a few of the real diehards that want to get this accomplished before the sun starts to set. You know, by the time you're all ready to submit the changes that you've made for peer review, it's approaching the time that you would usually eat dinner. So the team of really excited people that you've met decide to go out, and you're all going to eat together to celebrate your minor breakthrough. You know, you were able to clean up a few logic loops and improve the computational speed incrementally, which is no small feat in a culture that is continuously improving the collective work of absolutely everybody. So you all retreat to a nearby residence where you help prepare a meal of roasted asparagus atop some savory quinoa, say with like chia hemp toast, just and more of that delicious olive oil. The meal is spicy, savory, and extremely high in protein. So you all end the evening testing out a new wine someone brought from a vineyard up north. The following morning, you wake up naturally as everyone else begins to stir. You all fell asleep where you were on various couches and chairs. You're a bit stiff. So let's say you decide to start the day with a stretch and some yoga in one of the many, many exercise facilities. Every building has plenty of dedicated open space with like obstacles, mats, weights, as well as resistance bands. And also, there are just interactive art installations, which are all meant to be climbed and traversed. So you make your way there, and let's say two of your new friends from yesterday join you after you've all had some juice and cereal for breakfast. So you're passing people meditating, reading, drawing, collaborating, and some people are still sleeping. Some people will sleep all day. What you initially thought was going to be a leisurely yoga session turns into contact improv with someone you met at dinner the previous night. So you two are talking and you're joking while improvising, and you both get a great workout in the process. And you decide together to spend the day. So you visit the Snowy Arboretum, you make lunch together, and you eventually share a private room in a renovated duplex / performance space, let's say. Thanks to the improvements that you and the team made to the weather algorithm, the radar picks up what looks like heavy snowfall, and the following day finds large groups of people building snow sculptures together. Big groups of roving kids, you know, band together to create whole crowds of snow people engaged in various activities. Physical play is just as important to education as computer literacy, and children are super encouraged to partake in whatever projects they desire. All resources and guidance are made available to them to design their own education as it pertains to what they're interested in. Because no job has any more or less significance, and education is so much more than just job training. Every day focuses on the enrichment of a person's whole self. So after helping to make a nice big breakfast for anyone who wants to join in, you go and you scroll down the list of ongoing projects for the day, and you see that a new water reclamation greenhouse is being planned for construction near the lake. So, you know, decades of reckless industrial pollution and shipping traffic drove the native species of Lake Michigan near to the brink of extinction, and it left the water in a highly toxic condition. Cryptosporidium has exploded in the region. So a federative has started drawing up bold plans for a large water reclamation bog, kind of like the smaller versions that exist throughout the city, which are mostly reclaiming water from the Milwaukee River, let's say. They're still in the very, very early stages of design at this point. They're trying to put together a timetable, and they're primarily reaching out to planners and organizers and designers from as many disciplines as they possibly can, because work here in a free society filled with civilized, cooperative people, disciplines are no longer separated from one another. There are no more specifics. So, as in today, any doctor, for example, will need very much to specialize highly. They'll need to focus what they're doing. And so you've got cardiologists, and you've got oncologists, and you've got pathologists. But even within there, You have people that are focusing on one organ of the body. You have people that are focusing on tiny, tiny systems. And there are people that need to know those disciplines. But what we really need more of are generalists. People who understand a little bit about absolutely everything. Because this project, this water reclamation project that you're interested in helping on, requires the interdependence and the intercommunication of so many working systems here in the city that they're going to need input from as many individuals as they can to ensure that not only are they going to make good use of, you know, pre-existing projects and systems, but also to make sure that the goal is achieved in a very efficient way, and also a way that's going to be in harmony with the surrounding environment, because the project itself wouldn't be necessary, for example, if that was the approach that had been taken before. So that's a project that you decide you really want to partake in. That's a project that's going to keep you here for a while. You're going to need to figure out some kind of more permanent housing, so you decide to just stay in the room that that you stayed in two nights before. You've already made friends. You already kind of know the lay of the land. And so you think that's where you're going to stay. And that, I feel, is how people are going to find roots in a society that does not force you to stay anywhere through socioeconomic restrictions. So, this has been a really brief kind of thought experiment. I think over the next few weeks, because there's a lot of really, really good anarchist literature, and some of it is science fiction, which I think, you know, today, sadly, this thought experiment kind of qualified as. I think we're going to do some reading. I think we're going to find some really neat excerpts from other great thinkers who have done a better job than I did of coming up with what the world could be in a free and civilized world without hierarchical power structures and money getting in the way of all of our shared potential. Thank you so much for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. And specifically, the next few weeks are going to deal very closely with our awesome shared potential, because every single one of us has so much potential. And sadly, the current systems under which we all struggle do not allow us the opportunity to realize even a fraction of that potential. Past episodes of The Anti can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.